So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Dura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 4. Tatsaudhubhaya Rishabhatmasyamna Samradito Bhagavan Yena Pumsam Hridistito Yachti Bhakti Pute Gyanam Satapari Gamam Puranam Tatsaru. Word for word translations. Tat. Therefore, Sarubhaya. O Great One amongst the saints, Adisha, please instruct Vatma, the path, Sham, auspicious, Naha, for us, Samraditha, being perfectly served, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Yena, by which, Kumsam, of the living entity. Hridisita, residing in the heart. Yachati, awards. Bhaktipute, unto the unalloyed devotee. Gyanam, knowledge. Sa, that. Tattva, truth. Arigamam, by which one learns, Puranam, authorized, old. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, O great sage, please give me instruction on the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, so that He who is situated in the heart of everyone can be pleased to impart from within knowledge of the absolute truth in terms of the ancient Vedic principles delivered only to those who are purified by the process of devotional service. Translation responsively. Therefore, O great sage, please give me instruction on the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, so that He who is situated in the heart of everyone can be pleased to impart from within knowledge of the absolute truth in terms of the ancient Vedic principles delivered only to those who are purified by the process of devotional service. Purport. As already explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the absolute truth is realized in three different phases, although they are one and the same, in terms of the knower's capacity to understand. The most capable transcendentalist is the pure devotee of the Lord, who is without any tinge of fruitive actions or philosophical speculation. By devotional service only does one's heart become completely purified from all material coverings like karma, jnana, and yoga. Only in such a purified stage does the Lord, who is seated in everyone's heart with the individual soul, give instructions so that the devotee can reach the ultimate destination of going back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam. Only when the Lord is satisfied with the devotional service of the devotee does He impart knowledge, as He did for Arjuna and Uddhava. The jnanis, yogis and kamis cannot expect this direct cooperation of the Lord. They are not able to satisfy the Lord by transcendental loving service, nor do they believe in such service to the Lord. The bhakti process, as performed under the regulative principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, or devotional service following the prescribed rules and regulations, is defined by the revealed scriptures and confirmed by great acharyas. This practice can help the neophyte devotee to rise to the stage of Raga Bhakti, in which the Lord responds from within as the Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master as super consciousness. All transcendentalists other than devotees make no distinction between the individual soul and the super soul because they miscalculate the super consciousness and the individual consciousness to be one and the same. Such miscalculation by the non-devotees makes them unfit to receive any direction from within, and therefore they are bereft of the direct cooperation of the Lord. After many, many births, when such a non-dualist comes to the sense that the Lord is worshipable and that the devotee is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, then only can he surrender unto the Lord, Vasudeva. Pure devotional service begins from that point. The process of understanding the absolute truth adopted by the misguided non-dualist is very difficult, whereas the devotee's way of understanding the absolute truth comes directly from the Lord, who is pleased by devotional service. On behalf of many neophyte devotees, Vidura, at the very first instance, inquired from Maitreya about the path of devotional service, by which the Lord, who is seated within the heart, can be pleased. Om Vijnanta Mirandasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Tcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vignatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sagvaitam Savidutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vram Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Tam Sacha He Krishna Kuna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavana Chate Devi Prananami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vita Patitanam Padmevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, today's verse spoken by Uddhava, so Vidura inquiring to Maitreya. So, alluding to the super soul feature of Krishna, and Prabhupada, as he mentions in the purport that in the first canto of Bhagavatam, the absolute truth is defined in three features, and here Prabhupada writes, according to the knower's capacity to understand. So there are three different kinds of transcendentalist. Transcendentalist is someone aiming to transcend the material world of birth and death, material duality. So there's the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. So the jnanis, each of these transcendentalists have their different desires. Which feature of the absolute truth that they desire to associate with or realize. So the jnanis, they only desire to be free from the material duality and merge into the Brahma Jyoti. So that is their level of understanding the absolute truth. That is, as Prabhupada says, their capacity. And therefore, that's all they realize. They just realize the all-pervasive, non-dual, undifferentiated Brahma Jyoti. And the jnanis their capacity for understanding is that the Lord is situated within the heart, so they want to realize that feature of the Absolute Truth by meditation and mystic yoga. And the Bhaktas understand that the highest feature of the Absolute Truth is His personal feature by which we can personally associate and exchange love with. And therefore they engage in Bhakti Yoga. And the Bhakti Yogi automatically realizes the other features of Krishna, His Absolute Truth, as the all-pervading Brahman and Paramatma. So, although today we're hearing about the Lord situated within the heart as the Paramatma, although we're not yogis, we understand that this is still Krishna, the Lord within the heart. The Paramatma is the four-handed expansion of Krishna in the material world, seated within every atom and within everyone's heart. So Prabhupada quotes, he's explaining that the devotee, this Paramatma feature of the Lord gives instruction to the devotee so that they can reach the ultimate destination of going back home, back to Godhead. And that is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10. Which goes, Tesham satsa yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyantite. So to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is an interesting thing that the super soul is in everyone's heart, the non-devotees and the devotees. So we can try to see what knowledge does the super soul give to the non-devotees. And as many verses, the Bhagavad Gita is, as we know, the preliminary understanding of the science of Godhead. So being the science of Godhead, it contains information about all three levels of the Absolute Truth. So there are many verses on this second stage of the Absolute Truth, the super soul. In chapter 13 we have Krishna explains Upadrash Dhanumanta Chab Hatabokta Maheshra Paramatmeti Chapukto Dehesmin Purushapara. So yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul. So this is for the non-devotees. Krishna exists just as the overseer and the permitter. He's overseeing all their activities in the material world, all their thoughts, their intentions, and he permits or sanctions the desires of the living entity. He awards their karma based on their previous activities in previous lives. So, you know, many times we'll hear about you know, non-devotees will be amazed that, oh, you know, this was just meant to happen. Something made this happen today. And the devotees can see that this is all by the arrangement of the super soul, whatever's happening. You know, someone has some good fortune or bad fortune, the unfortunate story in the news recently that someone abandoned their baby and left it in a drain next to a road. So, you know, you would have thought that no one would really be able to find that baby, and what, it just kind of got abandoned, left to perish. But somehow some people were nearby and they called over some cyclists who were riding on that road and called them over, and they lifted off the drain and rescued the baby. And so, you know, they were saying, oh, something made us go over to that drain and hear that baby crying, and you know, otherwise it would have had no hope. So there we also an example of how the super soul can direct the wanderings of people and engage them in whatever he feels is necessary. So for the non-devotees, this is just quite a distant relationship that super soul has with the non-devotees. Just overseeing what their activities are, permitting their thoughts and activities. Krishna also says, Sarvasajaham Hridi Sannivishto Mata Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. So he's seated in everyone's heart and he gives remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So that remembrance, not only on a day-to-day basis, but Prabhupada explains that, you know, when someone's first born, they don't know what to do. So Krishna gives them remembrance of their previous desires and activities and inspires them to act in that way. So for example, if someone has a lot of musical ability, then Krishna is, you know, from maybe from a very young age, so there Krishna, the super soul, is giving them inspiration that they previously really liked to perform music and piano or something, and therefore if they deserve it, Krishna will give them again that intelligence. So this is one of the remembrance that the super soul gives, and knowledge how to understand all the, you know, example the music, some people might just start reading music and something just clicks for someone, and Krishna is giving them knowledge. But for the non-devotees, the Paramatma doesn't give a lot of spiritual intelligence. He is trying to remind people of him, of himself, try to get them to come to spiritual life, but generally people are just not listening to Krishna. They're just absorbed in their fruitive activities, working for different material benefits. So they don't hear whatever Krishna is saying to them. So they kind of, they're deaf to the spiritual knowledge that's been given. But for devotees, even still, we're as a going on in Bhakti Yoga, we're not so tuned into the super soul. Therefore, we have the external manifestation of the super soul, the spiritual master. But still, Krishna as the super soul gives devotees more intelligence and how to engage in Bhakti Yoga more and more. So that verse that Prabhupada quoted, 10.10 in Bhagavad Gita, it's a very good purport. If you read it, it's very, you know, there are some purports where Prabhupada writes in a very inspiring and encouraging way. And this is one of them. In chapter 10 of Gita, one of the four seed verses or nutshell verses of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada writes that Buddha Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. In the verse we had, Tesham sasa yuktanam bhajatam puchapurvakam dadami Buddha Yogam tam. He gives us Buddha Yoga, intelligence. And Prabhupada says this is the highest intelligence. So although Krishna is giving everyone knowledge and intelligence, he specifically gives devotees this highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. So often we don't really think like that. Bhakti yoga, we don't think we're doing mystic activities or trying to elevate ourselves in a mystic way. So also in that purport, Prabhupada writes that one should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. So this is a very nice thing to understand for devotees, that we're always hearing that Krishna is the ultimate goal, Krishna is the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore we have a goal. And by the process of hearing and chanting with devotion and faith and patiently, then Prabhupada writes that the path is slowly but progressively traversed. So it may not feel like we're making much progress, but it is a progressive path. It's not that nothing's happening. This verse is also stressing the importance of pure devotional service. In the verse we have Bhakti Pute unto the unalloyed devotee. So without any contamination of fruitive activity or philosophical speculation, that verse said, Rupa Goswami Kirtanyabhi Lashita Shunyam Kyanakamajinavitam. So in the purport to the Gita, Prabhupada wrote that when a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of action, he's acting in karma yoga. And when he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he's acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he's acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga. So this is interesting too, that we might know that the goal is Krishna, but still we have tendencies to fruitive activities and mental speculation. So Prabhupada says that actually that's not bhakti yoga, that's either karma yoga or jnana yoga. But by the process of hearing, as Krishna said in the first canto, Shunvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. Vijayanta stohibhadrani vidhunoti sritasatam. So there again, Krishna said that Krishna is in the heart as a paramatma. And these material contaminations that we may have are cleansed from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous and properly heard and chanted. So that's an important point too, that in our devotional service of hearing and chanting, there has to be some urgency to hear these messages, some intense longing and greed to hear about Krishna, not just on the platform of duty, or though that is the start, but as we progress in Krishna consciousness, that we realize that it's such a nice thing and that we want to do it more and more, so we develop some urgency, we want to keep hearing. And then that is when Krishna really gets on with the cleaning process, when we really have this desire to hear from Prabhupada's, from Krishna's devotees, and then the real cleaning takes place. Purification of the heart. In that purport to 10.10 in Gita, Prabhupada also writes that a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, so that's many of us here, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. So this is a very merciful nature of Krishna, that we have a guru who can lead us to Krishna, and we're in ISKCON, a bona fide spiritual organization. But if we're still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna can help us still. So this is a very kind feature of Krishna. Just because we try to render some service, he's kind enough to rid our heart of all contaminations. Then Prabhupada writes that the qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. So whether or not we're materially qualified, if we engage ourselves more and more in Krishna consciousness with love and devotion, then that is the qualification for Krishna cleansing our heart. So this point of service discussed in Nectar of Devotion as well, that Prabhupada writes that those who are cultivating spiritual life and executing devotional service are always engaged in activity. Such activity can be performed with the body or with the mind. Thinking, feeling and willing are all activities of the mind. So due to our, in Kali Yuga, our very strong passionate nature, we generally engage devotees in a lot of physical and activities with their body. But even if the body is not as capable, doesn't have as much capacity for rendering active service, still service can be performed with the mind. As Prabhupada writes here, thinking, feeling and willing. So we're trying to always think about Krishna, man mana avamad bhakto. So, and whether our work is with service or, our service is actively working or thinking, then that work should be with love. And this is the real key principle, that whatever we're doing has to be with an attitude and a mood and feelings of love. And especially our chanting. I was hearing some lectures by my spiritual master recently that were quite inspiring for me with my chanting. So he was describing that just attentive chanting, of course we always stress on that, and that inattentive chanting is the root of all offences against the holy name. So, but just by being attentive won't necessarily bring us to a stage of having loving feelings. He was explaining, just like if you try to be very attentive and not let the mind be diverted, but that doesn't mean that you're having feelings of love. But then, on the other way around, if you try to chant with loving feelings, then automatically you're attentive, because you, just like if you, if you have love and care for someone, then naturally you're attentive to their needs and so on. So if we chant with a mood of loving feelings, then that helps us to quite easily be attentive to the holy name. Prabhupada also has some nice quotes in the preface to Nectar of Devotion. One of the qualities of a devotee, 26 qualities I think, is that they are kavi, poetic. So Prabhupada didn't write so many poems, but actually if you read his purports, actually the way he writes is actually very poetic. He writes in the preface to Nectar of Devotion that our loving propensity expands just as a vibration of light or air expands, but we do not know where it ends. So this is someone on the spiritual platform has this ability that they can, whatever they say is very poetic. So we have this loving propensity and we don't know where it ends, it just goes on and on. And the nectar of devotion teaches us the simple and natural method of loving Krishna. So this has to be the central focus in our devotional service. It's not so important what the service is as what our consciousness is while we're doing the service, whether it be serving Krishna with our body or with our mind. There has to be a mood of loving Krishna. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the first section is the first six chapters are, you know, the qualification for bhakti. The middle six chapters are about bhakti yoga. And the final six chapters are knowledge that will help us to be fixed in bhakti. So, in many times we might be reading Srimad Bhagavatam and we may not be able to see the connection to bhakti yoga. It might be just quite philosophical knowledge. Soon in this canto we'll be reading about the creation. So all of this knowledge, the purpose is to help us become fixed in bhakti yoga, in our mood of love for Krishna. Understanding more and more deeply how Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is everything. And therefore we try to, wherever we are, try to see everything in relation to Krishna. And by seeing Krishna everywhere, then understanding that Krishna is everything, then we can more fully absorb ourselves in loving Krishna. So in this process, in this purport we're reading about the jnanis and the yogis unable to get this cooperation with the Lord. So, and also their process is very difficult, that it's not very practical for everyone. But bhakti is for everyone. Krishna says, mam hi pata yapa shuta yepi siu papa yonia sriyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param katim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishas, and shudras, can attain the supreme destination. So as we know, everyone in this age of Kali is born a shudra, having not performed any Vedic rituals, samskaras. Although for other processes it might be a disqualification, but for bhakti it's not a disqualification. Just by taking shelter of Krishna through hearing and chanting with love, then we can attain Krishna's abode. And the final part of this purport, Krishna is explaining that the jnanis, yogis and karmis cannot expect this direct cooperation of the Lord. They can't satisfy the Lord by devotional service, and nor do they believe in such service to the Lord. And then he says, all transcendentalists other than devotees make no distinction between the individual soul and the super soul, because they miscalculate the super consciousness and the individual consciousness to be one and the same. So over and over again in Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's writings, we hear about the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. So for us it's quite, we hear it so often that we kind of understand it, that yes, we're just an individual soul, very insignificant, and Krishna is the super soul. So the pain and pleasure in my body, only I can feel, but Krishna understands the pains and pleasures in everyone's body. But for non-devotees, they don't understand this. And there was one conversation with Prabhupada when he was just talking with a few Indian men, and they couldn't understand that In the spiritual world, the Atma just serves the Paramatma eternally. So one of them asked Prabhupada, what is the aim of bhakti if you're not going to merge with Paramatma? So this is the idea of the non-devotees that, non-devotee transcendentalists, the other transcendentalists, they think that at the end of life, when the soul becomes liberated, then it merges with the Paramatma. So they're asking Prabhupada, what is the ultimate object of that bhakti? Prabhupada says that the ultimate object is you are offering this flower. This is bhakti. But you are different than me. And bhakti means the process by which Bhagavan and Bhakta interact. That is bhakti. And the Indian man, he says, that's all. He gains with that interaction. So Prabhupada is explaining that the two, they remain different, the soul and the super soul. But they still can't understand. So he's explaining then, this is Dvaitavad or two. There's always, the point is that there's two. So they can't understand. The Indian man is saying, you mean to say eternally there is a soul and this Atma and Paramatma will remain separate? Prabhupada says, yes. Therefore it is said, Nichi Yukta Upasate, verse 9:14 in Bhagavad Gita, that therefore the word is there, Nichi Yukta. Nichi means everlasting. So the soul eternally serves super soul. Nichi Yukta Upasate. Upasate means worship. So we come to the platform of Nicca, where there's no birth and death. And even, Prabhupada says, even from that platform, Bhagavan remains different than the devotee who worships. The Indian man says, eternally? Prabhupada says, yes, eternally. That is Nitya Yukta Upasate. There is no oneness. Otherwise, why is it Nitya Yukta Upasate? Nitya Nichanam, the Nichanam, plural number, and Nitya, Bhagavan. So Nitya Yukta Upasate. So comes out that these Indian men, they've been associated with some other so-called swamis who say that, yes, there is the bhakti marg, path of bhakti yoga, but that path of bhakti yoga is just to merge with Krishna. So Prabhupada, they've been hearing from these unauthorized people, and Prabhupada says, no, this is not the version of Bhagavad Gita. We have to understand what is Bhakti Yoga through the words of Krishna. And so, although Prabhupada is stressing again and again that, no, the soul and the super soul, they never become one. Nitya Yukta, they're always separate, and the individual soul in the spiritual world just worships the Supreme Soul. But it was very hard for them to understand, so it was interesting to see that it's easy for us to understand that, we are Krishna's part and parcel and we're meant to serve him, but for transcendentalists other than devotees, they can't understand this point. They think that the goal of any path of yoga, bhakti yoga included, is to just merge with Krishna. And there's no upasate, there's no worship. So from today's verse, we learn that Krishna imparts knowledge, not mundane knowledge, but he gives us knowledge that will lead us back to Godhead. And to be qualified to receive this knowledge of this intelligence, how to engage in bhakti yoga more through hearing and chanting, then we need to be always engaged in hearing and chanting, either actively serving or with our mind thinking about Krishna, something, his name, his words from Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his form. So like that, if we keep cultivating this practice of bhakti yoga, then we can be qualified to receive Krishna's direction from within. So I'll leave it there. Stop and see if anyone has any comments or questions. Yeah, people are passionate about so many things, cooking and, you know, riding their bike, and but that's why we engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. The point is to awaken our love for Krishna, so that love for Krishna is within our heart, and by hearing and chanting then we awaken that love. And then if we awaken that love, then our activities, that those feelings of love can flow into our activities and our thoughts and our, you know, dealings with others. You see everyone is also is Krishna's parts and parcel. So yeah, that has to be the basis of our spiritual life, is hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then that can flow into our other activities, and while we're doing those activities we're thinking about Krishna and doing it as an offering just to please him. So, but without hearing and chanting then it will remain on the material platform. So, but just engaging in devotional service, as you know, as directed by other devotees, then that purifies the heart, so that we can, you know, awaken our love for Krishna. And so just engaging in activities is also good for purification. Is that okay? Yeah. Did you have a question? I was thinking that when I was reading that verse sentence in Nectar of Devotion, that our loving propensity expands just as the vibration of light or air expands, but we do not know where it ends. You know, maybe I'm just sentimental. you know, because the soul, you know, wants freedom. So this, when he's saying this, it's indicating that, you know, that freedom can come when we have that, when we connect, we realize our loving propensity, and that loving propensity, when it awakens in our heart, it won't end. Love for Krishna just keeps on expanding. Like Prabhupada's words are never dry. In his purports and his translations, even they're always very, you know, relishable, and there's nothing dry about Prabhupada's presentation of bhakti, of course. Bhakti is full of life and juice. So that comes across in these reports, I feel. Anything else? Yes, Ruth.
So what was the conversation? Can you tell us again about with the Indians?
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand? When did it take place and when?
Oh, that was in 76, 1976, in, I think it was Hyderabad. Just trying to remember the month. I think it was April. I looked it up on the Veda base. I'd heard it. It was on, I think, April 25th, 1976, in Hyderabad. So, yeah, I'm not sure who those men were, but they thought that bhakti yoga meant to, you know, merge with Krishna. Because this is what they'd heard from some unauthorized transcendentalists. So let's stop there. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.